Be back. We had a couple days in the fun and sun and beach and all that kind of good stuff, and it was great. But you know, it's always good to come home, and we're so grateful to be here. Grateful for a safe trip and just the great experience of being back home again. What a blessing that is. I do want to say, Matt, thank you so much for so faithfully sharing God's word last week. Man, that was awesome. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, if you haven't heard it, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go online. That's a cool thing I love about what we do. All the sermons are online. And if you get a chance, if you haven't listened to it yet, go listen to it. It's powerful stuff. Now, I do want to tell you this. Matt's not wearing khakis today. I noticed that. 2 weeks ago, on the 22nd, Matt says, Matt and Mel and I were standing back there just kind of cutting up, carrying on before worship. He says, you know, I can't stand khakis. I can't stand them. I don't wear them. And then I'm listening to the sermon, right? I listened to last week's sermon and I go on Facebook and there's a picture of Matt in khakis. I'm like, dude, really? What are you thinking? But you heard him say he's not going to wear them again for 2 years. So, I mean, I don't know, but Matt, thank you so much just for what a blessing that was. Your scripture lesson is not in your bulletin this morning, but if you have your Bibles or if you have a smartphone or if you have a tablet or whatever you want to use, I want to encourage you to go to John chapter 15. And I want to read just part of, the Gospel of John from that chapter, verses 9 to 17. I want to share with you that right before this is all happening, after and what you're going to hear in just a minute, Jesus, you'll remember in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, Jesus says to his disciples, he's just told them that they're going back to Jerusalem, that he's going to go away, and where he's going, they can't be. And they're freaking out, and he says, look, let not your hearts be troubled. You know, and he talks about the rooms that he's got prepared for them and all that kind of thing. And then he says at the end of that chapter, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but peace I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And then he comes to chapter 15 and he begins to talk about what it means to be loved by God and what it means to love each other and what that looks like and how it plays out in real life. And so then we get to verse 9. Listen to these words. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, that your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There's no greater love to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. I've told you everything and the Father has told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. So the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love one another. If the world hates you, remember it hated me first. What a powerful word from God for us to hear this morning, to consider this morning, to think about this morning. We hear what Jesus says as he talks about love, but then it begs a lot of questions for me. Like, how does that love become real in our lives? How does the love of Jesus become real? It begs the question, how do we experience his love for real in our lives? How does that happen? How do we experience him? How do we experience his love? And then, again, the next question that comes to my mind is, how does that love get lived out? How does it go from inside of us? How does it go from what we know about the love of God and what we've experienced in the love of God? How do we live that out in the life that we're living? So I want to talk about that for a few minutes this morning. And I want to just talk about, I want to say this, three things. First of all, we experience the love of God when we receive His love, when we receive it. Verse 9 says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Well, here's the thing about love, the love of God. We can do one or two things with it. We can receive it, or we can, what? Push it away. We can reject it. We experience the love of God when we receive it. And Jesus says, look, I'm speaking to you as my followers. Receive my love. You can have this love, and it can be yours, and it can be personal. It can be something inside of you. And people ask us all the time, ask Mel and myself and Matt and Cindy, well, how do we receive the love of God? How does that happen in our lives? If I want to know the love of God personally, how does it happen? And it's as simple, and we've told you this several times, and I'll tell you again this morning, it's as simple as ABC. In the letter A, you admit that, we admit that we're a mess. We admit that we're messed up. You know, we're messed up people. You know, sometimes we come from some checkered backgrounds. And probably we wouldn't want a movie shown of what our backgrounds have been like. But here's the cool part. When we admit that we're messed up, that's when we open ourselves up to receive the love of God. We admit that we're messed up people. We admit that we don't get it right all the time. We admit that we make mistakes. We admit that we sometimes sin and sometimes fall short. Well, in fact, we all fall short of the glory of God, is what God's Word says. And we open ourselves up. When we admit that we're a mess, we open ourselves up to receiving the love of God. And the second part of that, the B, is that we believe. That we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. That we believe that Jesus Christ did what He said He was going to do. He came, God so loved the world that He sent His only Son into the world so that we might believe in Him, and when we believe, we can have eternal life. We know that Jesus went to a cross for each one of us, and not just for us, but for the world outside of these doors this morning. For the world of people here in LaGrange. For the world of people here in Oldham County. For the world of people here in Kentucky and in the United States and in the world. For God so loved the world. It doesn't say, oh, God loved the people of Covenant Church. Or any other church for that matter. God loved the people, and we believe that Jesus did that for us. That Jesus came and went to the cross for our sins, for our mess. We believe Jesus was who He said that He was. And then thirdly, the C is that we confess that. We confess with our mouths, Jesus is Lord. We say, God, I'm tired of living on the throne of my life. I'm tired of being number one in my life. I'm gonna take myself off the throne. I'm gonna take myself out of control. I'm gonna give control of my life over to You. A, B, C. Admit, believe, and confess. And when we do those things, we can receive the love of God. It pours into our lives in such a powerful way. And then we experience the love of God when we remain in that love. That's the next thing that Jesus talks about there in verses 9 and 10. Now again, He's talking to His followers. He says, look, if you're going to remain in my love, what that means is that you endure, that you persist, that you stay put, that you be grounded in place, that you be tied to. I don't know how many of you have been on a cruise or seen Navy ships or seen boats, in fact. When a boat comes into the dock, what do? They take the ropes and they tie it off. Now why do they tie it off? So it stays put. So it stays in place. And that's what the word is, that's the word picture it's giving us here. That's what Jesus, the word means that Jesus is using, is that you stay in place, you endure, you persist, we do all that you can to show that we are tied to the love of God. We remain in His love. We show that out as we obey God's commands. We do what His word tells us, and that means that you and I have to stay grounded in His word. I read someone said the other day that, you know, the key to staying grounded in His Word is being in His Word every day. Is taking 5 minutes. That's why that daily bread thing is so important. And maybe you've already put the app on your phone. You can do the daily bread thing on your phone. It's the coolest thing ever. You know, technology is amazing when it works, and it works well. But that's an app that you can put on your phone called the Daily Bread. And in 5 minutes, you can read scripture, you can read a story, you can read a prayer. And I'm telling you, that will help us to remain in, to obey the commands of God in our lives. We can remain and be in Him in everything that we do and everything that we are. We can remain in Him. We seek to live our lives in holiness. And we put on that full protection of God on a daily basis. We put on the armor of God around us so that we can withstand the attacks of the enemy. Verse 11 says, here's what comes from that. When we learn to receive the love of God, when we learn to remain in His love, what Jesus says to His disciples, what He says to you and me, is what comes from that is an abiding sense of joy. A sense of joy. In fact, not just a joy in our lives, but a joy that overflows in our lives. Now, listen, we've said this a gazillion times, but joy and happiness are different. Happiness depends on the circumstances that we find ourselves in on a daily basis. And sometimes we live in a world that's not very friendly to us, right? And sometimes the circumstances around us aren't very happy. But what joy is, that is even in those circumstances, even no matter what life throws at us, Jesus says that I've come to give you joy. I've come to give you abundant life and life, oh, that it's overflowing with His presence, overflowing with joy, that we can know that no matter what happens, Jesus is with us. Jesus is walking through whatever we're going through with us. We can experience God's love when we receive it, when we remain in it. And then He says, we can experience God's love when we live it out. When we love others, love each other, love one another. Love like we have been loved. So, you know, sometimes, maybe you know this already, but sometimes it's really hard to like people. You ever notice that? You know, sometimes we got neighbors or people in our community, and it's tough to like them. Sometimes they're people that we know are different political persuasions. Sometimes they believe differently than we do about this, about living life, and how that happens and what that looks like. Sometimes they're cantankerous. You know any cantankerous people? Obnoxious people? People that yell at you and scream at you when you're driving down the road? You know, so we live in a world where sometimes we just don't like people. But the reality is that even when we don't like them, we need to love them. Because Jesus loves them. Wow. I mean, think about that. We need to love them even when we don't like them. He doesn't ask us to like them. He asks us to love them. There's a great theologian of yesteryear named Frederick Buechner, and he said, in the Christian sense, love is not primarily an emotion. It's an act of the will. We love them as an act of the will. The word used that's here by Jesus is to these followers and to us today meant an unhesitating willingness to sacrifice one's life for a true friend. A willingness to give our all, our everything for our friends, like Jesus was about to do. That's what was about to happen. Jesus was about to give His life for the world, for the sins of the world. To take it all upon Himself. And what Jesus says, what it means to love each other, is to love people like that. Be willing to to do whatever it takes. To do whatever it takes. Let me give you a little backstory to this clip I'm going to show you. Maybe some of you have seen the movie 42. It's the story of Jackie Robinson. In April of, oh, by the way, Matt, sorry. But here's another one of those sports illustrations. You know, I heard Matt say he doesn't give sports illustrations, but I do, man. That's where I live. So it's sorry. You're lucky it's not NASCAR or something, brother. I mean, you know, but anyway, so in April of 1947, Jackie Robinson became the first black man to play baseball, played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. His playing baseball was not very well received. I mean, he was a black man in a white man's sport, and that was not a thing that, boy, that was just not something that, in fact, when he would go to ballparks, I mean, it didn't matter where he went, people booed him. I mean, horrendous catcalls. It was awful, the stuff that he endured. Pitchers threw at his head. Players who would run the bases would spike him as they'd go by. I mean, it was horrible. He would leave the field, people would throw stuff at him. People would leave notes in his locker of how bad they thought he was. Until one game. Take a look. Maybe take a look. You know, that was that's a story about the racial tensions of the 1940s. And that was Pee Wee Reese, by the way, a native of Louisville, Kentucky, who risked everything that he had, everything that he'd earned in baseball, to go over to first base and put his arm around Jackie Robinson. I watched that clip, and I read the story this week, and I thought to myself, wow. Now, it became more than about baseball to me. What it really struck me was this. Sometimes we're the Jackie Robinson. We messed up. People booing us. People making fun of us. People doing all they can do to degrade us. In the midst of all that, Jesus walks over and puts his arm around us. And said, let's go. We got this. Let's keep going. Made me also think about people in our lives. My best guess is that you and I know somebody that's standing out there on second base and they're getting killed. The world is tearing them to shreds, booing them, laughing at them, hoping they fail. They don't want them around. And they need somebody to be Jesus with skin on and go put their arms around them. So I want to take a minute. I just want to give you a second. I want you to think about that. Are you out there being beat up? Who do you know that's out there being beat up? If you're the one that's just suffering, know that Jesus just wants to come put his arm around you. I want you to receive his love. If you know somebody, maybe it's time for us to be Jesus with skin on to that somebody. Just bow your heads and close your eyes and let's just give it a minute. Let the Spirit move in our midst.